Whenever somebody's slandering someone else, that is a weak argument, but unfortunately it turns a lot of heads and you get a lot of people on the side of the slanderer, which is really mindless thinking. And that's what they're doing here. They're trying to gin up against Manasseh. You see, the Bible does say in Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stirs up anger. Well, Gideon used the gentle answer, but here the harsh words stirring up anger. So they go to war.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kakou e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in the book of repeat offenders, Judges 12 and 13.
We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because.
We're going to look at chapter 12 and 13. Remember, Jephthah has just beaten and been victorious over Amnon, who really were oppressing Israel. And so he was that judge that dealt with that oppressor, and he won the victory. But there was a problem. The Ephraimites, jealous individuals, prideful individuals, they wanted to be first. They didn't like others to get ahead, especially when Ephraim had the right of first birth, although Ephraim was the younger of Manasseh. And yet Jacob gave him the privilege of being firstborn, that you had a lot of privilege. But the point being, there was a prophecy that went with that, and we'll look at that. And so now they're jealous. They already contended. Remember in chapters before, they contended with Gideon, and Gideon, a soft answer, turns away wrath. Nothing came of that. But now here, they weren't so kind. They really confronted Jephthah in a very wicked way. We're going to burn your house down. Why did you go to battle without us? And so here we are in chapter 12. And it says, then the men of Ephraim, we'll go to verse 3, were summoned, and they crossed to Zephon. Then said to Jephthah, why did you cross over to fight against the sons of Ammon without calling us to go with you? We will burn your house down on you. And Jephthah said to them, I and my people were at great strife with the sons of Ammon. When I called you, you did not deliver me from their hand. And when I saw that you would not deliver me, I took my life in my own hands and crossed over against the sons of Ammon, and the Lord gave them into my hand. Why then have you come up to me this day to fight against me? Sounds so reasonable, doesn't it? There are people that are so unreasonable, you could give them logical arguments, they don't want to hear it. They're just looking for a fight. They just want to get in your face, and they want to brawl. You see, Jephthah won the victory over Israel's oppressor, Ammon, and the tribe of Ephraim was jealous. They wanted the glory. They wanted to be somebody there, talked about in the land of Israel. The Bible tells us in the Song of Solomon in chapter 8, verse 6, jealousy is as severe as Sheol, or the grave, or death. It's as severe as death. Its flashes are flashes of fire, the very flame of the Lord. So they threatened. They threatened Jephthah just like they did Gideon. You can find that in chapter 8, verse 1, that threat of Gideon. But he turned it away because he was very kind, very soft with them. He said, what have we done compared to you? You got the kings. You've got the kings and you conquered them. We just, you know, we just did a little bit. You know, and then he talks about their gleanings of grapes. You know, your gleanings, what falls on the ground in your town, that's better than our choice grapes. And so he turned away that wrath by that soft answer. But not here, not here. It seems like they wanted personal attention. It seems like they wanted a fight. They were not, and they were willing to die for this personal attention. Proverbs tells us, jealousy enrages a man, and he will not spare in the day of vengeance. It's Proverbs 6:34. You got to watch out for a jealous heart, for envy. You know, sometimes you think you can reason with that. Well, you can't. You can't always do that. Now, Jephthah tried, but notice in verse 4, then Jephthah gathered all the men of Gilead and fought Ephraim, and the men of Gilead defeated Ephraim because they said, you are fugitives. This is what the Ephraimites said to Manassehites. You are fugitives of Ephraim, O Gileadites, in the midst of Ephraim and in the midst of Manasseh. So here's the situation. Now, these are of the tribe of Ephraim and the tribe of Manasseh. Ephraim was the son of Jacob, so was Manasseh, the son of Jacob. Now, when the blessing came, usually the firstborn, the oldest, would get that firstborn blessing. That was Manasseh. The younger one, Ephraim. And so Jacob said, bring the sons to me. And so the sons were brought to him, and as he blessed, he crossed his hand, and the right hand would always be for the higher blessing, for the firstborn. But when he crossed his hand, he put his hand upon Ephraim, the younger, and he gave him that firstborn blessing. And that firstborn blessing indicated power, position, and prosperity. And so Manasseh, the older, pretty much was left out. And so you find that now Manasseh, victorious over Israel's enemy, and Ephraim feels slighted. Wait a minute, I've got the firstborn blessing. And he feels slighted because he didn't go to battle. The Bible says pride only breeds quarrels, but with one who takes advice is wisdom. You see, there was wisdom here with Jephthah, but it wasn't listened to because pride, it breeds quarrels and it breeds contention, and it breeds basically death. You find it here. You see, God's mind in the future, why did this happen? Why did Joseph bring his sons and then the hands were crossed and Ephraim got that blessing? And he was the younger, he wasn't the older. Well, you see, God had a future. And in God's providence, in God's wisdom, and God's sovereignty, he knew what he was doing. I think sometimes we so much live in the now. When God does things, sometimes we get bummed or we go off on our own because we don't think God was really for us or blessed us. And that's really wrong to do. Because Ephraim wouldn't wait. He wouldn't wait because God's providence, when the father of the Ephraimites crossed hands and put their hand on Ephraim, Joseph's son, and Manasseh was left out. But now Manasseh's getting the glory and Ephraim isn't, and now they're angry, they're bummed. They should have just waited. They couldn't wait. You see, because in the years to come, when the kingdom was divided, now this was probably, I didn't look it up, but it was hundreds of years later, when the kingdom was divided, David's kingdom divided with Rehoboam and Jeroboam. Jeroboam, who was an Ephraimite, who was the youngest of the sons of Joseph, younger than Manasseh, he got the blessing, the firstborn blessing. And yet now Jeroboam of the tribe of Ephraim, he was anointed king over the northern kingdom. And the prophet Ahijah gave him that blessing. And so that potential for the future blessing was really the Ephraimites, but they couldn't wait. Oh, they're going to go to battle. Wait a minute, just wait on the Lord. Let it come to pass. Because that blessing was so powerful. That blessing was like what God wanted to bless David with, or what he did bless David with. You find it in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 37, where God, in that time, when the kingdom was divided, he said, "And I will take you," talking to Jeroboam, "I will take you and shall reign, and you shall reign over whatever you desire, and you shall be king over Israel." That's the northern part. "Then it will be that if you listen to all that I command you and walk in my ways and do what is right in my sight by observing my statutes and my commandments, as my servant David did, then I will be with you and build you an enduring house," or an everlasting house, "as I built David, and I will give Israel to you." You can't have a greater blessing than that. David, I'm going to bless you. Jeroboam, I'm going to bless you. But Jeroboam blew it. I mean, he became an idolater. But you see, there was the promise. There was why that crossing of hands. But Ephraim couldn't wait. Couldn't wait, and notice he slandered. In that verse 4, that's a slander, that last part, "You are fugitives of Ephraim," and so on and so forth. So he just slanders, puts him down. "You know, I'll put you in your place if you're not going to call me to battle and I can't get the glory." I like what Matthew Henry paraphrases this, and he says here in verse 4, that last part, he said, "You Gileadites that dwell here," this is what the Ephraimites are saying, "you Gileadites that dwell here on the other side," because they did, Manasseh, the half tribe of Manasseh, dwelt on the eastern side of Jordan. Remember when they came into the land? And so that's what he's referring to. "You Gileadites that dwell on the other side of Jordan are but fugitives of Ephraim, the scum and the dregs of the tribes of Joseph, of which Ephraim is the chief and refuse of the family." You're like dung on the ground of the family, "and are so accounted among the Ephraimites and among the Manassites who care for you?" Question. "All your neighbors know what you are, no better than fugitives and vagabonds, separated from your brethren and driven hither into the corner." So it's a put down. Not only they wanted to burn the house of Jephthah, but then he slanders them. Whenever somebody's slandering someone else, that is a weak argument, but unfortunately it turns a lot of heads and you get a lot of people on the side of the slanderer, which is really, I think, mindless thinking when they do that. And that's what they're doing here. They're trying to gin up, you know, against Manasseh. You see, the Bible does say in Proverbs 15:1, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Well, Gideon used the gentle answer, but here the harsh word stirring up answer. So they go to war. Verse 5, let's go down to verse 7. "And the Gileadites captured the ford," so they already wiped them out, but there were still some loose ends or some that got away. And so they captured the fords of the Jordan opposite Ephraim. And it happened when any of the fugitives of Ephraim said, "Let me cross over," the men of Gilead would say to them, to him, "Are you an Ephraimite?" And if he said no, then they would say to him, "Now say Shibboleth." But he said Sibboleth, for he could not pronounce it correctly. Then they seized him and slew him at the fords of the Jordan. Thus there fell at that time 42,000 of Ephraim. And Jephthah judged Israel 6 years. Then Jephthah, the Gileadite, died and was buried in one of the cities of Gilead. So was it overkill? I mean, they'd already defeated them, and now those that were going to, you know, on the run, crossing over to their land, they had to cross this ford, and so they wouldn't let them unless they said this word. But the pronunciation, they couldn't pronounce the SHs, so they said Sibboleth. No, it, Shibboleth. And so then they would kill them. It's like you sometimes you hear people pronounce things a different way. I know sometimes people will pronounce ask with axe. I ax them, A-X. But it's ask, A-S-K. You see, but it's just they grew up with that kind of pronunciation. But you hear the same thing with the Ephraimites. They grew up with that. The same thing with you with, remember when Peter went into the court of the Herod, and this young woman said, "No, you are one of them, for your speech gives you away." I mean, three times, you know, he was questioned, you know, if he was one of them. But then the maiden said that your speech gives you away. And so he basically denied the Lord that third time. And so people have different pronunciations, they have different accents, and so that's what's happening here. But here's a problem, this jealousy, this strife, many die because of that on both sides, often. It's true, a house divided cannot stand. Now, these are of the tribes of Israel. These are brothers in the same family, Jacob's sons, and yet now they're warring with one another. And so it's a sad situation here. And so it goes on in verse, as Jephthah is gone, he's died. Now it goes on, the last three of the judges here, verse 8 to 15. Now Ibzan of Bethlehem judged Israel after him, and he had 30 sons and 30 daughters whom he gave in marriage outside the family. And he brought in 30 daughters from outside of his sons, and he judged Israel 7 years. Then Ibzan died and was buried in Bethlehem. So this, after we find Jephthah is dead, here are three judges. They're good men, but they have very short reigns. You know, not very long did they judge Israel. And so there's not much of a legacy that they've left. Others have left quite a long legacy, good legacies, but these not very much. The legacy of this fella is he had 60 children, 30-30, 30 sons, 30 daughters. And the daughter, for the sons, he imported daughters outside the land. And they would do that. Now, these weren't Gentiles, but he would import them for his sons to marry. Because a father in that culture, they had three things that they had to do for their sons. Number one, teach them the law. They had to know the law. So they were very concerned with that according to the law of Moses. And so they would teach them, right? Bind it on your hand, on your forehead, and when you go out the door and out the gate and come in, you know, recite that. And so it was the law. The second thing was a trade. Have them learn how to make a living for themselves, however it is, agriculture, maybe it's building in mortar or maybe wood, whatever it might be. And the third thing is get them a wife, a family. And so that's what they did. They brought in the wives, and so you have that. One of the things that we see is Jephthah had no grandchildren, had no sons. He had a daughter, but remember, he basically committed her to a life of celibacy and just being a, a maidservant of the tabernacle, serving in the tabernacle. Now, also it goes on, and now Elon, the Zebulunite, judged Israel after him, and he judged Israel 10 years. So it doesn't say much about him. Then Elon, the Zebulunite, died and was buried in Ajalon in the land of Zebulun. Now, Abdon, the son of Hillel, the Pirathonite, judged Israel after him, and he had 40 sons and 30 grandsons who rode on 70 donkeys, and he judged Israel 8 years. Then Abdon, the son of Hillel, the Pirathon, died and was buried in Pirathon in the land of Ephraim in the hill country of the Amalekites. And so here you have those, and not, you know, not too much is said about them. Elon after Abnon, or Elon, and then after him, Abnon, and he had 40 sons and 30 grandsons, and they rode on 70 donkeys, probably spoiled kids. I mean, that would be a lot to get all the kids and the grandkids, donkeys. Now, we don't know. They could have been officers, because it mentions that if you're riding on that animal, it means that either you're an officer, a judge, or you're just some kind of a distinctive person. And so maybe it's just the granddad, you know, Abdon, just celebrating his kids and his grandkids. The Bible does say in Proverbs 17:6, grandchildren are the crown of old men and the glory of sons as their fathers. And so this fella, Abdon, he really gloried in his sons and his grandsons. But I have to admit, my grandchildren, I love it when they're over here, especially the boys when I go out surfing with them. I'll tell you, I get up dawn patrol and go out with them. You know, we're out there at 6 o'clock in the morning where I normally wouldn't do it, but they just kind of bring a whole new excitement and energy.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of Repeat Offenders, Judges 12 and 13. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our media archive. We really appreciate any support from our listeners. Your encouragement and prayer go a long way for this ministry. If you'd like to support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online at CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. And for those who would like to be a regular sponsor, you can set up a recurring gift on the schedule of your choice. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in the book of repeat offenders, Judges 12 and 13. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.